is already here. Boy, waiting on forever. I guess you can't believe that too. But they got a brand new August special out. It's our great friends at Zero Res. Right now, they're going to bring back the free hallway. $129 with your free hallway. Look, young children, they've been around your house. You got mud in there. The dogs are outside. Everybody's been outside. You get crazy with your carpets. You want insanely clean carpets, you want to do that with Zero Res. ZeroResGreenVault.com. No soap. That means no lingering to attract dirt. That means no residue. That means your carpets stay cleaner longer. They stay fluffier longer. They dry faster. Three rooms, $129, free hallway. When you mention my name, Mickey, with back to school, the kids are finally out of the house and you want to clean things up. 864-558-7300. 864-558-7300. Visit ZeroResGreenVault.com. Make your appointment today. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. And don't forget to ask about their air duct cleaning specials. We take a small break from Urban Meyer, 20-minute break from Urban Meyer Talk, and we visit with Paul Strelo of TigerIllustrated.com. Good morning, Paul Strelo. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
Well, good. Since we last talked, every player in the history of football committed to Clemson, so let's get to them now. as far as the dates go, let's go back to late last week. As soon as we got off the phone with you, Sergio Allen, someone he had talked about, a 2020 linebacker, has committed to the Tigers. Tell us about his commitment and what kind of linebacker the Tigers will be getting in 2020.
Yeah, Sergio Allen, 6'1", 6'2", 220. He'll project into the mid-230s as an inside linebacker. From Peach County High School in Georgia. Clemson had really been involved with him longer and harder than some of the other suitors, who I think just kind of assumed that was going to be a long range kind of competition for him. Clemson had him into its last two camps. A guy who's very instinctive, very strong lower body, who does. Just very much projects as an inside linebacker type. And so I think if you look at the track record for Brent Venables, he's tended to get a linebacker in hand pretty early in his recruiting classes. And this was a guy that Clemson earmarked pretty early.
We move to the 2020 class, heading to the cookout itself, and Levante Bentley from Birmingham, four-star linebacker from Birmingham, commits. What kind of linebacker is Clemson getting in Bentley?
Yeah, I think he's a lot like the Kendall Joseph, Ben Bulware type mold that you've seen Clemson bring in before. He's 6 foot or really, 220 right now. But really the measurables are the only reason you didn't see an Alabama push for him harder, I think, because he's that the contact player. He can run, has a little edge to him and the way he plays. And I think he's kind of the next in line of the guy you see Clemson using that way, both as an inside backer and an edge player for them. I think that's kind of how I profile him.
Joseph Ngata, I take it I'm saying it right. I'll let you correct me if I'm not. Mm-hmm. Folsom, California wide receiver, 6'4", 210, four-star, top 100 player from Rivals.com. What does it say about – what kind of player is he? What does it say about Clemson's recruiting efforts that they go to California and get their next wide receiver U prospect?
And to me, that's kind of the next notch on their belt, is that they were able to go into California and get somebody they want. We've seen it in Ohio and Alabama and Tennessee, but really expanding, kind of the two notches left were Texas and California. And, I think that it speaks as much to how much the wide receiver U brand resonates and what Clemson's done in kind of building a pipeline of receivers there, productive college players and then off to the pros. I think also, it's not that Clemson's going to go and just grab every five-star out of California. I think what you've noticed both with Ngata and DJ Uiagalelei is, the personalities when you deal with them. Those guys fit kind of the profile, and God is just a different type guy. He hasn't really done anything with his recruitment, and generally West Coast guys you know, it gets going later because West Coast schools are slower in recruiting. But, you know, even then, you know, his brothers played at Washington. There are connections there with his high school. So, you know, they would be the team to fear more out of anyone. And Clemson really hit a home run with its March visit when Ngakoue came out with his father. And I think that from that point on, he was sold. And he's, you know, I don't know that he's the best receiver prospect out there in the country, but he's got as good a film as anybody out there. And, you know, I think it's another good get and another nice piece for Clemson.
I know it's
certainly two of the positions that they use, they have at least.
I know it's early, but what kind of player is his brother, and how heavily involved could you see Clemson maybe getting involved with the 2020, I think it is, running back?
Mm-hmm. I don't know that he'll be at Clemson's level. There have been other brothers of Clemson players. You know, we saw it with Mark Shields' brother, who committed to Tennessee most recently. Clemson recruits those guys fairly independently. And I think that's probably why, you know, the trustworthy and honesty factor certainly has helped Clemson with some of those families. So, you know, I think that will remain to be seen, but I don't think he's someone that's in the crosshairs quite yet for Clemson. He'll be, you know, evaluated on his own merits as the 2020 running back picture comes together.
One of the, I guess, I don't say surprises, but a guy that you really wasn't that close on the radar all that long ago, defensive end from Kansas City, Missouri, 3-star. And let me know how I do with this one, Paul. Ednosa Rubin?
Ednosa Rubin. That's much easier than Rook or Oro. So
right.
Sliding scale there. Brent Venables now, 4-for-4 on the guys that he's gone and targeted out of the, you know, larger Kansas City, you know, America's Heartland area out there. You know, Ruben, like Oro, and even Logan Cash, three defensive linemen that Clemson has recruited to be kind of jumbo D linemen. You know, maybe there'll be ends, maybe they'll be inside tackles, maybe they'll play both based on just kind of where they are body type-wise. So, you know, I think if you're Clemson, you are looking to, you know, both replenish, you know, the defensive tackle cupboard or guys who could play there because of, you know, how few numbers you have going into next season. But also you're giving yourself some, you know, versatility as you switch from three-man line to four-man line and different things that they tend to do personnel-wise. So, Ruben, the Clemson offered, you know, 3-4 defensive linemen there back in late April, early May. And I thought Ruben had as good a film as any of them. Second-year player. You know, he's played 2 years of high school ball. Nigerian background, which is where he and Oro, you know, kind of connected along with Taquan Johnson to Cookout. So, you know, I think it, again, that one speaks to as much to the Clemson brand as well. That Clemson has kind of been able to establish a small pipeline coming out of the Kansas City area and get the guys at once.
And finally, the perhaps the biggest fish, 4-star by some, 5-star by some, the cornerback from Archer down at Lawrenceville, Georgia, Andrew Booth selects Clemson over Auburn. This was the, you talked about it, big boy recruiting kind of moment for the weekend. Tell us about that recruiting and what kind of corner Clemson's getting.
Yeah, for me, Booth, you know, I think every year there's a measuring stick recruit that the, you know, whether it's the biggest need or fans just kind of fall in love with that pursuit, Booth was the one that people wanted. And kind of going back even to, you know, the summer of 2017, we talked about coming out of the Sweeney camp, that Booth was the guy who really kind of caught our eye and took off about a month later from that and being a guy that just had South Carolina Duke offers to Clemson offered him, and then within 2 days, Georgia, Alabama, and Auburn had all called and to try and not be too late there. But, again, like you said, I think he could certainly be considered a 5-star. We have him as a high 4-star, really, you know, right there on the cusp at number 32 nationally, which tends to be a 5-star over time. But, you know, the number of folks that I've talked to down there, who've, who have seen him play, and I've seen him play several times, but more of the, you know, what others are saying is the people who play against him think he has Sunday skills, that that's the guy that will be in the NFL, where you're drafted and all that's up in the air, but a guy that's that has that level of talent. Certainly both as a corner, he's a superb return man, a dynamic type player, both with the ball in his hands, but just in generally, he makes things happen. A 6'1", 180, for us, for Rivals, he's the second highest rated defensive back Clemson will have signed in the Rivals era, behind A.J. Terrell. And I think you're certainly seeing a little different mold that Clemson is being able to recruit a defensive back the last couple of years.
They had in 23 players this past weekend for this cookout. 16 already committed. 4 have committed since. We've gone over those guys. The 3 uncommitted players so far, it appears just a formality with Jalen Phillips announcing a formal announcement. Paul, this is still Clemson by your projections, and talk about him, the player, and where his recruiting is now.
Yeah, Jalen Phillips, teammate of Boots at Archer. I would agree. August 20th is his birthday, and that's the only reason this is stringing out for a while. I think Clemson rather clearly moved into the pole position when it brought him in, formalized its offer, and really went independently on him back in, during the Sweeney camp time. Someone that Clemson believes improved considerably over his junior season. They think that he can play multiple positions within the defensive backfield, whether it's nickel, safety, I don't know if they identify him as a corner, but I think like a Kayvon Wallace, they feel he could be used there should they desire to. But, particularly as they're looking as well at safety to bring in numbers and get some options there, I think that they liked Phillips and that he met their bar.
Cooper Dawson, in-state offensive lineman, a guy that is really not all that highly recruited. It's hard to see that Clemson wouldn't be his best offer. Where do things stand with him at this point?
Yeah, I think Dawson had some smaller offers to play defensive end, which is what he has in high school. And I think with any guy who projects long-term offensive lineman but hasn't played it before, I think it just takes it. The main thing is, does that kid want to play offensive line? Because it takes a lot of investment to do so. You've got to want to, because it's a grind. And I think that's been the only hurdle in keeping him from committing to Clemson, is deciding what does he want to play. The visit to Clemson probably moved him farther along in thinking, okay, no matter what position I play, I might want to be at Clemson more than somewhere else. And you're seeing, Wake Forest has offered him as an offensive lineman. North Carolina is now coming in, kicking tires. There could be other options for him going forward, but as an offensive tackle. But I think the fact that so many others are viewing him as an offensive tackle is kind of leading him then to think, okay, this actually might be where my future is. And if I like Clemson this much, I think it's more of just as a matter of time passing by that argument will continue to go in Clemson's favor.
A final visitor that's not committed, and a guy that I think might go even longer, 5-star center from Oxford, Alabama, Clay Webb. Everybody in the world thinks that, it's so hard to go down to Alabama. They did it with Justin Ross. Can they do this with Clay Webb?
I think they can do it with Clay Webb. Now, I don't think it's a given that Webb doesn't go to Alabama. I think it's just the story remains that he could go somewhere other than Alabama, that there is actually a possibility that door is open. He's a different person in terms of this isn't just somebody that you assume onto Alabama's roster. He's going to make his own decision, and there are a number of factors involved. I think he does like Alabama very much, and I think that they've done a good job, importantly, of developing his relationships with the other offensive line commitments there. But I also think that Clemson resonates with him and his family. I think he sees some appeal there. I think Georgia and Auburn are both involved in this conversation, and it's one that he's repeatedly said he's going to carry that decision into December. So we'll see if that's what happens. But you know, I think Clemson is very much in it, and it's kind of you're going. I think both Clemson and Georgia, which had him in last weekend, you're looking to go baby steps. You know, trying to, you know, just continue to stay in that competition and maybe, you know, improve your standing a little bit, develop better relationships with him, you know, and see if it helps over the long run.
It's one thing for Clemson to be wide receiver U and to get Justin Ross, because Alabama traditionally doesn't throw it as much, and that's kind of, I get all that. Wouldn't it be even a much more difficult task? I mean, Alabama might be offensive line you, and Clemson hadn't had that kind of NFL success. Isn't this a much bigger mountain for Dabo Swinney to climb?
I think so, especially I think it's more comparable to a Jackson Carman, and right. You know, in that regard, I think the wide receiver U brand, like you said, has going to almost take the life of its own. And so, you know, Clemson wasn't going to go and be getting five-star offensive linemen before they started getting, you know, some of these five-star receivers they've been getting out of somewhere else. The identity of Clemson is as much as skilled players, the quarterbacks and receivers. I mean, that's what people identify, you know, Clemson by. So I think that takes time to maybe advance to that level, and I think we're even seeing that with Clemson DB recruiting, and like we just talked about with Andrew Booth. You know, you're seeing that, you know, kind of it's a slower but a natural progression from getting high three-star and some four-stars to getting a lot of four-stars and some borderline, you know, or potential five-stars. And so we've seen the Clemson offensive line recruiting upgrade over the last couple years, and going back to the Mitch Hyatt class and up to Sean Pollard and some of those. And I think that's where, you know, Clemson's taking its swings at the highest, and eventually, you know, that you get a Carman, you give yourself a chance with a Clay Webb, and you're going to strike for some of those. But yes, like you said, I think, yeah, it's a little different because I think Clay Webb is different and is looking around a little bit more. But that said, you know, if you get a five-star offensive lineman out of Alabama, that's going to raise a lot of eyeballs.
No doubt about that. You've got a ton of things headed out. Practice starts tomorrow. I know you'll be out there for that and much, much more. Tell us about TigerIllustrated.com, Paul, because there's no doubt that where to find the best information.
You know, got to, obviously, with August camp kicking off, you know, we've written a couple stories here about the freshmen that we expect to impact this season, you know, what roles they could have, and kind of projecting, you know, who's going to do what this season among the freshmen. We'll have, like I said, plenty from camp and observations and every little morsel about the quarterback competition, et cetera. So, you know, a lot kicking into gear here as practice gets started this weekend.
Place to find it, TigerIllustrated.com. Paul, awesome work, man. Great job there. Looking forward to seeing much more. Looking forward to visiting with you next week.
Thank you, Mickey.
Thank you, buddy. It's our friend Paul Strelow of TigerIllustrated.com. Carolina Flooring Specialist wants to come in and do your garage floors, wants to make sure you get the highest, the best epoxy-based floor. And I saw one of the competitor companies down here in the Lowcountry yesterday. I'm like, ha, not as good as Carolina Flooring Specialist. I trust what Tim Worley and Daniel Emanuel Parham and what they do, because I've seen it firsthand. My garage looks amazing. Yours can too. Look, the bottom line is it's slip-resistant, stain-resistant. It's going to look amazing. It's going to add value to your home. You are going to absolutely love our friend at Carolina Flooring Specialist. Just a free, no obligation phone call. Let them come measure your garage, show you what they do, show you their colors, show you how they can do these things for you. You're going to love it. Your garage floor could be amazing with Carolina Flooring Specialist.com. Call Tim today, 404-8158. When we come back, let's talk more Urban Meyer. The Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson thing is going to happen. The $10 million match, that's going to happen. We'll give you details of that and so much more when you return right after this.
Hey, students. Still looking for the perfect place to call home this fall? The University Cottages at Ingalls Crossing offer students moderate and simple living just 2.5 miles from Clemson University. Each cottage is perfectly designed for two, with two bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms, and includes Wi-Fi and washer and dryer. This outstanding community also offers top-notch amenities for residents like a resort-style pool, community clubhouse, and even a dog park. Call Tiger Properties today at 654-RENT for more information on this exceptional student living community. That's 864-654-RENT.
A lot of places are jumping on the biscuit bandwagon, but Bojangles has been making made-from-scratch biscuits for 40 years. And that's why our biscuits are the best in town.
Head to Bojangles and get two country ham biscuits for just $3. Bojangles, it's bow time.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
If you're looking for the perfect Clemson gear, then look no further than the Tiger Sports Shop. You can be the ultimate Clemson fan from head to toe with the Tiger Sports Shop's vast selection of orange and purple apparel. Tiger Sports Shop provides everything Clemson for the Clemson fan. Are you looking for the Nike apparel that you see the Clemson players and coaches wearing on the sidelines? We are the exclusive provider of Nike sideline apparel. In Clemson, visit our stores at 1102 Tiger Boulevard or 364 College Avenue in Clemson. Go Tigers!
M&L Mobile Home Supplies is the largest retail mobile home parts store in the upstate. They're your source for heat pumps, heating and air replacement parts, doors, tubs, showers, vinyl windows, skirting, decks, water heaters, everything you need. And they'll install vapor barriers, insulated floors, ductwork, and heat pumps. For 32 years, the staff at M&L Mobile Home Supplies has served the upstate's mobile home needs. M&L Mobile Home Supplies, 1128 Bypass in Anderson, or online at mnlsupply.com.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
With summer here, shouldn't you look as hot as a burger on the grill? If you want to look and feel as hot as noon on a summer day in the South, call Urban Nirvana. With the best stylists around, you'll get the kind of pampering you deserve, and the day spa will have you feeling as cool as a cucumber. And being able to buy a gift certificate online is better than a splash in the pool. Log on to urbannirvana.com, buy your gift certificate, and print it right from your own computer. Urban Nirvana, Magby Station in downtown Greenville.
The 105.5 The Roar annual NCAA college football kickoff show live is happening at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road in Greenville from 5 until 8 Thursday, August 16th. Enjoy the whole crew as they break down the 2018 college football season. We'll see you at Twin Peaks Thursday, August 16th.
The Mickey Flailer Show on 105.5 The Roar.
I was really hoping to avoid you and then ignore you a bunch before you could ask me about this.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Music is a world within itself. The language we all understand. With an equal
opportunity. Welcome back. Glad to have you with us, Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. Let Mark Hawkins and his team take care of you. Here's what I'm telling you about these people, and what I continue to tell you about these people is it's trustworthy. You know, you got a big decision on hand here, right? And you got a big decision that, hey, we're going to refinance our home. We're going to buy a home. We're going to renovate our home. Then that's a big decision. And then the next thing is, man, this is a major investment. What do we do? How do we do it? Let these folks just walk you through and let them help you through it. It's my great friends at Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com, local people that are going to be upfront, honest, get you in exactly what you need, really better your whole overall situation. It's our great friends at Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. Zach Orr, Mr. Orr 24. How you doing over there? Hadn't talked to you in a while. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It was a great interview with Paul Strela there. Appreciate that. Got it recorded for everybody at home. You find it on our podcast after the show is over. We'll upload that at the top of the hour if you missed it for whatever reason. But no, I'm fine here. We're ready to go and finish all these last two segments.
For folks that don't know, our podcast, we do it by the hour on there. As soon as the hour's up, we put them up. So it's all on there, and the interviews are on there, too. So I always go to our website, WCCPFM.com, in case you miss anything. Zach, I want to take a quick break from Urban Meyer. I want to get right back to it after this.
Sure.
But Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are going to play their $10 million event on the weekend of
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Either Friday or Saturday of Thanksgiving, and it's going to be out at Shadow Creek out in Las Vegas. Understand it's a great golf course, and they're going to play for $10 million winner-take-all match.
Oh, boy. Where's this going to be broadcasted? How are we going to watch this?
I don't know that, but we will watch it. It will be on TV. Who has the rights to it? Who will pay for the rights to it? Who negotiated all this? I don't know. But you know what? You'll watch it. People will watch it. And people can say it's crazy, it's $10 million, but they're going to watch it, right?
Of course we're going to watch it. I can't wait for it. I'm so excited for it. I will now be watching three golf tournaments in the next couple of months. It will be the PGA, it'll be the Ryder, and then it'll be this one.
You won't watch this World Golf Championship this weekend with Tiger Woods teeing off here at 10:20?
I mean, I'll follow along on Twitter, but I'm not going to go on my way to watch it.
You said Ryder Cup, all right? Yep. Tour Championships?
No,
FedEx Cup?
No.
Tiger Woods is getting ready to win, buddy. I'm telling you that.
Yes, sir.
All right. On the Urban Meyer stuff, we've talked almost extensively, almost exclusively Urban Meyer stuff today. And I opened the show saying I have more questions than answers. And I still don't know if Urban Meyer's wife, Shelley, told him or not. And I don't know who from the university investigated, who knew at the university, why didn't they know, why didn't they know more? And I still don't know why Zach Smith's wife was not contacted by anyone at the university yet. According to her, she was not contacted. I am disturbed when Urban Meyer asked Brent McMurphy at Big Ten Media Day, why would you make this a story? It needs to be a story. So it's not Brent McMurphy's fault. Don't kill the messenger. That said, I started the show out today kind of on the fence of not knowing if this is fireable, should you be held accountable, and I'm still not 100%, but I will say, Zach, that you've done a really terrific job of convincing me. And our callers, we've had, in case you missed the first couple hours, it's been a very good show with participation in that we've had a couple of, actually three attorneys have called in, and we've got two or three people from the the state of Ohio that have called in, and Ohio State fans who have called in. So I've learned an awful lot, and now I'm leaning even more heavily, I don't know what percentage, but even more heavily into thinking the right thing to do is to send Urban Meyer and terminate the contract with him. Also, too, the pictures that you sent me, and I don't like seeing those, and I kind of wish you wouldn't see me because I like sticking my head in the sand, but the pictures were a little bit to say about that as well, Zach, so... I'm kind of leaning that way now. Let me do some Twitter, and then, Zach, I'm going to get where you are of what you have heard through all of this. Alex writes in, read last night that in the case of Urban not to report domestic violence against a state employee as she was a nurse at the university. I think that's his wife who was a nurse with all of that. Here's one. Adrian writes that the man speaks with a forked tongue. There's a text out or a story out that after the NCAA basketball stuff, Urban Meyer said, if you lie, you can never coach again. And it appears like maybe he lied to the Big Ten media days one day last week. Samuel writes in on at Mickey Pollard, at Mr. Orr 24 on Twitter, regardless of the actual abuse case, Title IX requires you to report abuse if you're a state employee. If Urban knew it's a crime that he didn't report the alleged abuse, it's a fireable offense. We know that now, and that's in his contract now, and rightfully so. Chris writes in, how long till Urban Meyer's next coach is Gamecocks? They seem like they get the coaches at the end of their career. Well, that's not going to happen there. Vicky writes in, the this, she says, is she's right about the administrative leave with the contract and what it looks like. So, Vicky, I appreciate you sending that in. That certainly cleared things up for us, for sure. On Twitter, Jerry says, I think that we're quick to say fire Urban Meyer because of his alleged pass at Florida and his heart condition back then and the coaching season later. This guy's pass is not helping his case here. I think that's fair game. That we do have to consider someone's past, but at Ohio State, it's been a different. His current employer, it's been a little bit different there. On Twitter, Matt says he lied about it and covered it up with a volatile situation involving endangering a woman. Do you want that message going to your players and other coaches? He should be fired, in my opinion. Matt brings up a good point, and I'm gonna touch on that here in a second about players and what it means there. Ed writes, I'm pretty sure this wouldn't have happened under Dabo. You'd like to think so. I know Dabo well enough to think that I don't think it would happen. You never say never, though. Samuel said, the fact on Twitter, Samuel, the fact that he knew of the alleged abuse, that he's required to report it and he didn't, it comes out if someone higher up, maybe possibly he stays. If not, he's done. And I agree with that. Maybe he reported to somebody. So we'll see. Terrence writes in, Ohio State gets beat 31-0 by Clemson. Cleveland gets swept. LeBron leaves, and now Urban Meyer's about to lose his job. The state of Ohio is in a sea of hurt and discombobulation. And it's not good times there, as far as that's concerned. Zach Gore, Mr. Orr, 24, Jack Lake Tonto. I don't know what Eskimo brothers we are today. It is hard to...
We're not.
For Urban Meyer. You don't have your watch on?
Let's be clear about this.
Do you have khaki shorts?
No.
T-shirt?
Is it the same? Is it a orange Clemson T-shirt with purple lettering and a paw in the middle?
No, but still, we're T-shirt. We're
then no. Then no, we're not.
All right. let me ask you. I think one of the principles involved in this is if you're the leader of young men developing, going in, recruiting, having to go sit in front of moms and sisters, how do you do this? How do you discipline a player in the future? How do you preach that you need to respect women if in this case he had all that evidence and he didn't do anything about it? I think that's a very, very pliable, something that applies here to Urban Meyer's future at Ohio State. If he has one, how in the world can he move forward with some of the things he might have to confront down the road? Make sense?
It makes a ton of sense. We're getting a couple of questions here. Why is it just Urban Meyer getting the heat for this? Why is it not the AD or other coaches on staff? The easy and quick and simple answer is Urban Meyer is the face of the program. He's the head of the organization. He is the guy that is the end-all be-all. And by taking that position, by signing on for that, by signing that contract that has the clause in it that we talked about before, he's responsible for this. There's no way around. Like I'm struggling to see any way around. I'm struggling to see any side that ends in him keeping his job at Ohio State.
Okay. About the idea that he's the one that's responsible. In the Paterno case, if others knew it and didn't do anything about it, Paterno was the one that suffered the fate of being fired there. What Shiano, what the rest of that staff knew, how they do all that kind of stuff, maybe. But if the entire staff knew, isn't it their responsibility to do something? They're not his boss. Well, actually, his offensive coordinator, I guess, is his boss in a way. But isn't that to report that and to get that going too? Shouldn't they have reported that to officials if that's the state law in Ohio? If
sure.
They knew about it,
if they knew about it, sure. And so, we can discuss that if that comes out that they knew about it. But right now, it's being reported that Urban Meyer knew and he didn't do anything.
Let's compare the two. All that we know is that, according to the victim here, is that Urban Meyer's wife knew and all the other coaches' wives knew. We don't know if Urban knew. Now, again, we think he did. And we don't know if the other coaches knew. But if all the other wives knew, and we assume that since Urban's wife knew that he knew, then can't we assume that if the other wives knew, that the other coaches knew?
Absolutely.
Okay, so aren't they all fired too?
Sure, if you want to clean out the entire staff, that's fine.
No, what I'm saying is just legally, in their contract, if you're going to tell me it's against the law in Ohio, mm-hmm, and it's a fireable offense for Urban Meyer, then the entire staff, that or everybody on the staff who knew has to go, right?
I'm with you. I'm not arguing with you.
No. I'm not arguing with you either. I'm just trying to say that who's going to coach football at Ohio State this year?
Hey, that's not my problem. Don't hire people that are going to throw their wives around, throw them into walls when they're pregnant with your kids. Don't hire those guys and bring that toxicity into your program and then expect me to feel bad for you when your entire program news and gets canned because you couldn't be a man about it. You couldn't be a decent human, not even be a man, be a decent human being and point out the fact that someone was being abused and hurt and you could have done something to stop it. What kind of person do you have to be to do that?
Are you speaking to Urban or to their staff?
Anybody that knew of this and didn't do anything to stop it is who I'm speaking to. But right now, what we're talking about specifically is Urban Meyer, because as we've discussed and beaten to a pulp here, he's the face of the program. He is the guy. Ohio State football, Urban Meyer. That's who you're thinking of right now. We saw him. He was put on every single ESPN commercial after the one national championship, right? You know, it goes through Columbus. That was the guy. He's been on ESPN. He did a little stint there when he wasn't coaching. He's almost above the sport. When you talk about the best coaches in the sport, it's Nick Saban, it's Urban Meyer, it's Dabo Sweeney. Those are their top three. That's it. And this guy could have done something to help an innocent woman in this. And he repeatedly brought back a guy who has been accused of this. Like, what are we doing? Why is this even a conversation?
I'm with you. I'm certainly much more in that corner now than I was when we started. But on a seriously big picture issue here is that I am told that it is against the law in the state of Ohio to not report. If you knew about it, not report it.
Is that if for a person in a leadership position, a person in a position of power, or is that for anybody at all?
I don't know.
Because that's very important to this conversation.
It's very important.
If that's the case, if it's a leadership position, if it's someone that's in charge of you, that your direct, boss or whoever you report to, then yeah, your offensive coordinator is on the chopping block, your head coach is on the chopping block, and probably your AD is on the chopping block.
But not even offensive coordinator. If I am right now, again, I don't know this. I'm just going on what I've been read through this. The rest of the staff, if it's a state law in Ohio, the rest of the staff is on top block as well.
Again, is it just general knowledge from anybody, or is it if you know and you're in a position to do something about, if you're in a position of power over that person, if you're a leadership role, that is important to figure what that is before we do fire the whole staff.
I was just told,
and that's not realistic, right? That's not going to happen.
Right. I was just told this. A Big Ten reporter on up in Ohio right now says that the people he's talked to, that this situation would not be one that's a Title IX issue, that the clause in his contract may not be in play, so it comes down to whether they feel he was truthful or not. Now, I don't know where Title IX fits into this or not, but as far as it's pretty clear in his contract what Brent McMurphy was reporting earlier.
Sure.
That his contract says that in the state law, it's not Title IX. I don't think Title IX is the issue. It's the state law that says that you have to report what you know. Let me read that to you again, just to be clear on this. Let me read that clause again. That in his contract, it says, and this is paragraph 4.1E. It is a new paragraph that shall be added. And this was added back in April, I think, right on this. Coach shall promptly report to Ohio State's deputy Title IX coordinator then. Yeah, so maybe this clause is not right. It is Title IX coordinator through all this. But why? And it says that Title IX coordinator, known violations of Ohio's sexual misconduct policy, including but not limited to sexual harassment, sexual assault, sexual exploitation, intimate violence, and stalking. I don't know why that would not be a Title IX issue if those things happened. It's obvious those things happened or accused of happened. Then why would Title IX? I don't get to see what the reporter's saying with that one. Anyway, a lot of questions, probably more questions than answers right now coming out of it. Interesting stuff. I would encourage you. Wolken has a bunch of stuff up now. McMurphy has a bunch of stuff up now. The national guys have stuff up now. There's timelines. One of the timelines that I got was from when Brad has Dan Hope on from 11Warriors.com. 11Warriors has a bunch of stories up about it. I've read all these all night long, and these are fascinating topics to think about.
One thing to think about as well, and Texture pointed this out, and I agree with them, or him or her wholeheartedly, this separation, this paid suspension, just feels like buying time to negotiate some contract out, doesn't it? You don't put someone on this leave if it's not legitimately going to happen, right?
I don't know that, Zach, because maybe you... I do think you need to have time. Now, again, you're up against the your time is an essence to you because you're starting practice tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I do want to say that rush to judgment is not the right thing to do now. I do want to say that let's look at every situation. Let's interview. Let's truly investigate. I would hate to think that we're saying we have to rush to judgment, get this thing done just because of public pressure on it. I would want to say let's investigate. Let's talk to everybody we can. Let's get all the facts in, and then let's proceed. So I don't think that, like everybody else says, that they're going to fire him because administrative leave means firing. I don't know. Maybe what if they turn out and he really didn't know and they can't fire him, you know?
How many people have gone on paid administration leave and come back to their job?
I don't know the answer to that question.
It's a small number. Very, very small number.
But if it's one, then
so
it has happened.
There's
and
a
so,
chance.
Well, not just that, man. Again, I don't want to be the mob mentality to say that we're going to do this because the public says we should do it. If Ohio State finds out that he was guilty of it, then yes, fire him. But don't fire him because everybody thinks that the pressure is mounting on Ohio State.
Sure.
Have some principles to say, we think this is the right thing to do, so we are going to fire him. Not, we're going to let you talk us into it because you think that.
Hey, I'm with you on most of that. But at the same time, the quote-unquote mob mentality plays a role in this because of his past. You can't ignore the guy's past. You cannot ignore Urban Meyer's past by any stretch of the imagination. And because it's not a coincidence these things keep coming up. It's not. It's not a coincidence that these things that are directly related to the abuse of women or any other crimes of the 31 players that are arrested at Florida or the staff member he brought over from Florida to Ohio State keep coming up. This is who he is and what he's built. So it matters, the court of public opinion. That does matter. Find the facts. I'm with you. But you need to take into account the fact that you're employing a guy who has a terrible track record when it comes to this stuff.
I will say this too. Let me finish because we got to get to break. That the lawyers at Ohio State right now are dotting every I and crossing every T and finding out exactly these contracts are and the court of law. We know that these are complicated deals and complicated issues, and so I applaud them for taking their time to know and do the right thing. I sure. think rather than just putting him on leave because this is a way to ease into firing him. If that makes sense. We'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap things up. Final segment right after this.
The countdown is on. 30 days till Clemson football.
Denham takes a shotgun snap. Back to pass. There comes pressure. There he goes. Kendall Joseph got there first. And then Dorian O'Daniel also there on the hit. It's a loss of 7.
On the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, we are WCCP 105.5. The Roar.
Calling all superheroes. Do you wish there was a way to make extra money while helping others in need? Now is your chance. BioTest Plasma Center in Clemson is seeking plasma donors who will be compensated for their time and travel. New donors can earn $50 on each of their first 5 donations. Repeat donors earn up to $310 a month. Walk-ins welcome. Become a superhero and save lives. Schedule your appointment and get more info at biotestplasma.com. Again, that's biotestplasma.com.
Whether your adventure takes you to the top of Chimney Rock or the shores of Lake Jocassee or the woods for camping, Elkmont Trading Company in Clemson has everything you need for your next adventure. Serving the upstate since 1995, Elkmont offers fly fishing gear from Orvis and Sims, as well as the area's best selection of kayaks and camping gear. Featuring Chacos, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Southern Marsh, Columbia, Yeti, Eno Hammocks, Kavu Rope Bags, Mountain Khakis, and more. Elkmont also has kayaks and stand-up paddle boards for rent, so you can try before you buy. Are you hungry? Try Elkmont's barbecue sandwich or a pint of locally brewed craft beer from one of Elkmont's 16 taps. There really is something for everyone at Elkmont. So remember, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't been to Clemson.
Bill collectors, are they calling, making threats? What is the truth? Don't be afraid. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait for them to sue you. Call me, Robert King. I will listen to you, and together we will look for a calm, clear, thoughtful solution to your legal problem.
Thompson & King, 300 South Tower Street in Anderson. Call 222-0200 or online at thompsonking.com. Thompson & King is a debt relief agency helping people file for bankruptcy under the bankruptcy code.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Big O Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram is your local family-owned automotive dealer in the upstate. Life, liberty, and happiness is what we're all about. Big O has a huge inventory of new and used vehicles at the lowest price. Cars, SUVs, minivans, Jeeps, and trucks, new and pre-owned. You name it, we've got it. Trust us to deliver your next vehicle today. Visit us online at BigOdodge.com or check us out in Greenville under that big American flag on the Motor Mile.
Most sports are played outside, so they should be enjoyed outside too. That's why Buffalo Wild Wings offers the Sports Patio. Sure, you can stay indoors with air-conditioned comfort and human-friendly light, but few things beat natural light, a cold drink in your hand, a delicious wing in your mouth, and athletes entertaining you on television. So order up some cocktails or beers and some of our signature shareables. Then watch all the games on our sports patio. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer. Sports. Patio availability varies. Please drink responsibly.
The Mickey Plyler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
Such a face, such a marvelous voice.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Final segment of the show. You know what's crazy? Mike Bianchi writes this morning on Twitter, is Brett McMurphy on the verge of single-handedly bringing down one of the greatest college football coaches of all time? Zach, isn't it crazy that Brett McMurphy tweeted out as well that he's been on ESPN SportsCenter more in the last 24 hours than he was the entire time he's working there? They fire him, and here he is with the biggest story in college football maybe in the last 5 years maybe, and now they've got him back on the air. It's crazy what Brett McMurphy has been able to uncover.
Why do we look at it like he's bringing down the biggest coach in college football and not just reporting what has happened?
Well,
I don't think it's a personal attack on him. He's not going out of his way to ruin the guy's career. He's reporting what happened.
Yeah, that's a good point. You say we have a phone caller, but I didn't know who you said.
We do. We have Fear the Turtle on hold.
Oh, Fear the Turtle. Thanks for calling in, man. I hope you're doing well this morning.
Yeah, doing well this morning, guys. How are you?
Fantastic.
I don't really see anything happening to Urban Meyer. He might have to take a sensitivity class or something like that, but this is all just a bunch of noise, okay? Because right now, Mickey, all it is he's got plausible deniability. Would you agree with that? It's not what you know, it's what you can prove.
I guess Mickey dropped off. That's a good point for you, the turtle. But this is not the a court of law, right? This is the court of public opinion, isn't it?
We'll be right back.
this is Terry Wyatt of Ag South Farm Credit.
This is Christy Ross of Ag South Mortgages.
If you need financing for land, livestock, equipment, construction, both home and farm, or everything out in the country, give me a call.
If you're purchasing or refinancing a home on land or in a subdivision, let me design a loan that fits your needs.
The team at Ag South has been servicing the upstate rural communities for nearly 100 years.
We have the experience and products to fulfill your needs.
Call us at 226-8507.
Or visit us on the web at agsouthfc.com.
An equal opportunity lender.
It's a great time to buy a new car, and the best place to shop for one is Walhalla's Ford dealer, Edwards Auto Sales. In business for over 50 years, you'll find a great selection of new and certified pre-owned Fords, plus lots of local trade-ins. The Edwards family believes in customer service and was voted Oconee's best new car dealer for the fifth year in a row in 2016. For the best price, best service, and the best car buying experience, go see Edwards Auto Sales, Highway 28 in Walhalla.
Why wait to say, at least I did in my way. Lie way to fade.
Mickey Plyler joins us now on Mickey Plyler Show. Mickey.
I made my move.
What all is happening with Urban Meyer in the final segment of the show? There's still some conflicting reports about his contract. We'll continue to find more out about that. That's what the lawyers are doing right now. Zach, in our final couple of minutes, we'll finish with 2 minutes. I'll come here in a second. But what did, is there anything you didn't get to? Anything that, in case people missed the first couple hours, any resounding evidence of this? You feel pretty sure. You feel pretty convicted about this, it seems like, at this point.
I'm still in the camp of he needs to go. I'm still in the camp of it's egregious that we're even having this conversation. When you really fly into it and read everything that's put out there, you see the pictures of this woman. I don't see a way that he ends up keeping his job.
Yeah, I learned so much. Again, I tried to read everything by everybody on this. And one of the things I learned was the idea that Urban Meyer is not as revered in that state as other coaches have been. I mean, they fired Woody Hayes. And again, they had to. They fired Jim Tressel. I guess they had to with Jim Tressel. But it just in learning and listening and taking it all in, that was a little bit surprising to me. In learning much more about that. Julio texted in about the contract and Brett Murphy stuff on there. There's still conflicting things about the contract itself, though, and what it says and what they can do. And, again, I think that's what all the lawyers are doing. Anyway, fascinating, interesting. Isn't it crazy that you just don't know? And, again, Ohio State football is going to survive. Ohio State survived before and after. There was football before him, and there'll be football after him. That's not the issue here. But isn't it crazy when you think about the icons of college football, that this comes from basically out of the blue? It was about 13, maybe 14 months ago. I had to go back to the exact date, that Bob Stoops said, that's it, I'm out. And we lost one of the, we didn't lose him, we should say, like he passed away. But here's one of the greatest coaches in college football history, a national championship winning coach, just said, that's it, I'm gone, out of nowhere. No, really, nobody had any kind of clue. And Zach, when we were on the air, our last show on the air was Tuesday. When we signed off Tuesday, there was no sign at all that Urban Meyer would not be here. And it leads us to the message to Ohio State fans now is, man, you just appreciate what you have while you have it and the winning while you have it. This won't affect Ohio State. I mean, they had the bad year post-Jim Tressel. They were back pretty soon. You know, we talked an awful lot about the windows. Ohio State's windows, they're going to have many more windows of opportunity. This isn't the last window for Ohio State. But still, it appears like it might be the last for Urban Meyer. Zach, isn't it crazy just how funny how fast times change? Like I said, when we signed off on Tuesday, we had no idea this would be our entire show on Thursday.
When we come back next week at some point, is there a real possibility that he's legitimately not there, right? There's a real possibility he doesn't survive the weekend in Columbus.
Oh, I think it could happen today. I mean, again, all of it depends on, and again, I just read an article during the break about all of it depends on what the lawyers have in the contract and how you negotiate it. I thought it was almost a shut deal, and then I got a text saying there's a reporter out of the Big Ten out of Ohio now that says there's a court case in Ohio, in Colorado, that's saying that those cases aren't Title IX cases and aren't really applicable to this situation right now. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's what those lawyers will figure out. Anyway, hey, Brad Hughes, I'm an Allstate agent. I'm a good hands of Brad Hughes. I'm a good hands of Allstate. I can call him at 292-3001. I can email him, Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. I can get in touch with him, Brad Hughes Insurance.com. Better coverage, better rates.
thanks to my good friend Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. We forgive some of the sports every single day. Hey, today I'll forgive all the Tiger Woods stuff, all of the Clemson football fan days. We didn't get to that at all. We didn't get to anything else out there because it was all Urban Meyer today and really a fascinating deal. But now I appreciate all people's input on it. But we didn't get anything else because it's such an interesting and such a timely topic. So we'll forgive all of that. Buddy, we finished things up. Skip the music. What do you have for a two-minute drill for me?
Big day tomorrow there, Mickey Plyler. I know you're not going to be in town, unfortunately, but Clemson opens up their summer/fall practice, whatever you want to call it. Open to the media tomorrow, so I might head over there at around 5:30 and see what we can see. Maybe see some quarterbacks sling the ball around a little bit and have a good time. Clemson opens practice tomorrow. We'll get the weigh-in numbers. Everybody will freak out, and we'll have a great time with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get weigh-in numbers today, which is that's a big, big news around here. So that'll be good. Hey, let me tell you about our two-minute drill brought to you by Eric Newton, ericnewton.com for all your real estate needs. My great friend, ericnewton.com. Get in touch with him. You're going to love him. Anything in Clemson, he's got is ericnewton.com. I'll just finish up on